And she's only three, but she'll get there. That's a joke. I'm just kidding. For those that are visiting, we laugh here, okay? We pray for sport, so we're praying we're going to win all the gold in Brazil, and we laugh. Is that okay? If we know this, if we know the platform we're working from, we're all going to be happy. And the rule is, if you engage with me, I preach for less time. So if you sit there silently, we ain't having a picnic this afternoon. We're still going to be here at 3 o'clock. But anyway, moving swiftly on, we thought it'd be a great idea to do a series called FAQs. FAQs being frequently asked questions. And we were just giving people in our church an opportunity to ask a question they'd always wanted to ask. Thought it'd be a great idea until I got the questions. And then I realized that, man, these are really tough questions. I can see why you don't want to ask them, because I'm not sure I really know the answer myself. So last week we had one about the all-powerful God and the nature of who God is and whether he can make an unopenable box. I don't know if we concluded that he could or he couldn't, but I hope you went away and studied a bit more. But this week is a really challenging question. Challenging because I kind of can get some of the emotion from behind the question. So let me just read it to you. It'll come up on the screen. It says, how can a person trust they are hearing from God when the last time they trusted they heard from God, things went horribly wrong? Have you ever been there? Ever been there yourself? God, I know you're saying this, and it all just crumbles around you. I think I need to pray. Is that okay? Let's just pray as we dive in and spend these next few moments just studying God's word. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we have your word. We thank you that you have gifted us with your word, divinely inspired, infallible. Lord, it can correct us and teach us, inspire us. So Lord, we pray by your Holy Spirit you would do that this morning. You would come and minister to us as we study your word together over these next few moments. Holy Spirit, be in this place. I pray that what each individual in this place needs to hear, they would hear directly from you. Lord, whatever I say, the stuff that is of you would remain and the other stuff would just be consumed. And Lord, we just pray for Andy this afternoon as he smacks a century for Snitterfield. We ask as we sit and eat our picnic that Snitterfield would be truly glorious and would reign supreme in the world of cricket and help us bring back all the gold from Brazil. Amen. We're doing well in the Olympics, aren't we? Anybody watching the Olympics? I'm consumed. I've never had so many late nights in a row in all my life. But I don't know about you. Did you have TV growing up? We can be honest here. Did you have TV growing up? We had the classic four channels growing up. None of this massive amounts of channels. Four channels. And I remember when the fifth channel arrived. Amazing, wasn't it? Another whole world of a channel was launched onto our TV sets. A complete rubbish channel, nothing ever on it. But that's fine. It was another channel. It was another option. But we always only ever had the four, maybe five channels growing up. Didn't have any kind of Sky or anything like that. So when Cara and I got married, Cara's not here, by the way, today. She's currently in bed because she's lazy. No, I'm just kidding. No, we think she might have eaten some peanuts, which she's allergic to. So that's not so good. So pray for Cara, my wife. That'd be great. Anyway, when we got married, I decided straight away we're getting Sky. No matter what happens, we are getting Sky TV. I'm getting the full package. We're going to spend a fortune. We're going to have like these, how many channels? Like 900 channels, whatever it is. And we're going to get Sky. And the guy came around, installed Sky for us. And he showed me the menu system, showed me how to work. And I was like, whoa, all these channels. It's incredible. It's like a matter of months later, all these channels, and there was still nothing to watch. But still, there was all these channels available to me. And I'm like just flicking through, just going, man, I haven't seen that program for maybe 10 years, but it's on telly again. Fantastic. See, all these channels were always available, but I hadn't been tuned into them. I'd just been getting the standard four or five channels. They'd always been there, but I just didn't know about them. I just wasn't tuned in to all of those channels. Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Do you know, we can all know something of God. The lost tribes in the middle of the Amazon can know something of who God is because of the divine qualities that he shows through the things around us. You came here this morning and you saw trees and you saw birds and you saw nature and you saw seasons. It's God's qualities displayed in that. It's his general revelation because it's generally available to all of us. It's amazing, isn't it, that God reveals himself to us. But I don't know about you. Hi, morning. I don't know about you, but I want a little bit more than just generally knowing about God. Do you? I want to know about all the other channels, and I'm not talking about all the other ways of hearing different things. I'm talking about all the possible ways that God could speak. I want to be able to hear his voice for me, to discern it and to walk in those ways. If you've got a Bible, we're going to turn to John 10. If you haven't got a Bible, don't worry. It's up on the screen in a minute. John 10. We're just going to read a few verses from John 10. Spend a few moments looking and exploring what it means to hear, discern the voice of God. Is that okay? Keep talking to me. The time's ticking on. So John 10, 1 to 5, and then we're going to jump down to verse 27 after that. So it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." And then just jumping down to verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. John 10 finds itself just after this moment with you remember the healing of the blind man? Jesus spits in the mud and whacks it in his eyes. It's the strangest healing meeting in the world. If we could do a healing meeting right now and just come forward if you want to have mud shoved in your face, I don't think we'd have that many takers. But that's what Jesus does. And then he says at the end of that, look, the guys who are blind, I've come to give sight. But those who think they see, they're going to be blinded. Why did Jesus say that? He's saying it to the Pharisees, he's saying it to the religious leaders, those who think they knew everything, those who think they had it all sewn up. Be careful about sticking to your principles so much that it doesn't give room for God to speak. These guys thought they got it all sewn up. It meant, it's like, this is what God has said here, this here, this here. It all matches up. It all sews up neatly and nicely, and therefore this. And God came and blew it all out of the water by being in human form, 100% God, 100% man, coming as Jesus. He just blew all of their thinking out of the water. But their principles, their rules were so stuck in their ways, so established. It was like, I'm sorry, I haven't got room for this because you're kind of compromising stuff. Be careful. Be careful, because God might just speak in a way that you're not expecting. Has God ever disagreed with you? Has God ever disagreed with you? Has God ever come and rocked your theology a little bit? Your study of who he is. If he hasn't, Timothy Keller, great quote from Timothy Keller. He says, "If your God never disagrees with you, you might just be worshipping an idealized version of yourself." It's good, isn't it? That was just a little aside. So having upset the Pharisees, which he did quite regularly, Jesus then moves on and he's talking in John 10 and he starts to talk about sheep and shepherds. But what's all this got to do with hearing the voice of God and discerning the voice of God? Well, there's something you need to know about first century sheep and shepherds, okay? A little bit of a farming lesson from a guy who, well, I learned to drive on a farm, but that's probably about it. I've seen sheep being born, but I've never birthed a sheep. Is that the right phrase? Birth the sheep? I don't know. Anyway, first century shepherds and sheep, okay? It would be outside of the city. So the sheep would be outside of the city walls and they'd be on the pastures, the flats and the hillside. And there would be this kind of enclosure of wall, of four walls, making it a pen enclosure with a small gap for the sheep to come in and out of. Maybe about 5 or 6 feet long, this gap, for the sheep to be able to come in and out of, okay? Now, there would have been maybe 1,000 sheep that would have been put into that herd. But there would have been 10 shepherds that looked after 100 sheep each. Okay? So the shepherds would come, they'd gather their 100 sheep, all 10 of them, so that's 1,000 sheep. That's maths, is right, isn't it? Yep. So there'd be 100 sheep each, gathering 1,000 sheep, 100 sheep each, gathering them, bringing them back into the pen, leave them there. Then one of the shepherds overnight would lie down across the opening, that 5-6 foot gap, and the other shepherds would go and have their night off and relax in the city while the one shepherd looked after all the other sheep. And then in the morning, The other nine shepherds would come along, go back, meet that one shepherd, walk through the entrance to gather their sheep and start calling their sheep by name. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I just want to explore four things this morning. Four things about what it means to hear and to discern and to understand the voice of God. Number one, my sheep. It's about relationship. My sheep. They're my sheep. And there's no shortcuts to this. There's no shortcuts to discerning and hearing the voice of God other than getting into relationship with him. People have spotted that I can't spell very well. That's meant to say relationship. But when you're doing it at 10 o'clock last night because you realised you'd forgot to do your PowerPoint and you only just got back off holiday, it's a bad excuse, but it's the truth. That says relationship. My sheep. My sheep. Now, are you his sheep this morning? Now, clearly this is a metaphor. Clearly, you're not actually sheep. Some of you are a little bit hairy, but you're not sheep, okay? Some of you might make strange barring noises when you wake up, but you're clearly not sheep. So what's Jesus talking about? What's he saying? Because the picture in the biblical narrative, the picture of a sheep and a shepherd, was the picture of a king and his kingdom. The king and his people. Now we see that and we think, oh, you know, royalty, they live in their throne. That's them and that, we're just the plebs that live around the world. But we couldn't get anywhere close to them. They've got all their bodyguards, they've got their big fences. But to the first century, the idea of a king, the ultimate, the perfect king, was seen as this intimate being that you could have relationship with. And to relate it to a shepherd, you've got the ultimate shepherd boy king in David. That's what they all aspired their nobility to be like. To be this person they could have friendship and relationship with. And Jesus is saying, I am the true king and I've come to have intimacy with you. So it's a really different picture to what we see in royalty today. So we've got these 1,000 sheep in this pen. Okay, picture the scene. One shepherd is on the night shift. He's been looking after the sheep. The other nine shepherds come back. 1,000 sheep, and they start calling their own. And those 100 sheep that belong to that shepherd know the voice, hear the voice, and start following that one shepherd. 900 of the sheep go towards other shepherds, but 100 of them know the voice of their own shepherd. Going after, that's my shepherd. That's where I'm going. John 10, 3 and 4, it says, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hears the voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Isn't that brilliant? When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So if number one is we need relationship, my sheep hear my voice. Guys, if you're belonging to the right shepherd, you can expect results. It's number two, you can expect results. You can expect to hear the voice of God. Sometimes not tangibly, audibly hearing the voice of God. In fact, most of the time, probably not. But you can expect to hear him leading you and guiding you in all manner of different ways. Sometimes in ways you're not expecting. Can I be honest with you this morning? Do you know I didn't hear God tell me to come and lead this church? Oh, really? Our pastor's just confessed that he didn't hear God. No, I didn't. But I know he didn't say, no, don't do it. God often speaks to me and says no more than he says yes. I rarely hear God say, yes, that is my path. Go and walk in it, son. Be blessed, my child, in an audible voice. Never had that. But I know in the past when someone's presented something to me and I've been up all night, I've been like, I just feel unsettled about this. It's just, and I know that's God speaking to me. I just know it is. I know how he speaks to me. Not every day. In fact, sometimes I'm reading his word going, God, I really wish you'd just say a little bit of a word to me. But when I need it, he's there. And so often, and it was the case of coming and leading this community here, I felt God saying absolutely nothing. And therefore I said, do you know what, God? You know me and I know you. Therefore, I'm just going to walk. And if it's not right, I know you're going to shut the door because you've done it so many other times in the past. Now, that's either going to encourage you or discourage you. Take it as you will. I love this question. I love that this question is, how can a person trust they're hearing from God when the last time they trusted they heard from God, things went horribly wrong? Do you know why I love this question? Because there's an expectation in it. There's an expectation that God is going to speak. Oh, there's doubt. Absolutely, there's doubt. Welcome to being a Christian. Every step of the way, there's... In fact, actually, I think doubt is probably one of the greatest things as Christians we can have. Because so often doubt means all we've got left to rely on is Jesus. And actually, I'm doubting that he may come through, but actually, I'm in a place where all I can do is trust him. So there's plenty of doubt in there, but the disciples, one of them was called Doubting Thomas. Welcome to being a Christian. But there is so much expectation in there. There is so much that when I'm in relationship with Jesus, last time I heard God speak. Absolutely, when you're in relationship, you can get results and you will hear him speak. See, this isn't just about the pastor bringing a word to you on a Sunday. I'm the pastor. I've got a hotline to God for your life. So come and speak to me and I'll tell you what God has for your life and his will. Or the elders gathering together. Those things are great and we want to do that and we want to be part of your journey with you and just and come alongside you and seek God with you. Absolutely. But this is for you. This isn't for some special person on a special position in church. God wants to have a relationship with you and wants to speak into your life. Do we expect him to speak? When I started going out with girls at school. Yes, it did happen. I would have like, in first school, so we're talking maybe like 8 or 9. Just suddenly realized I liked girls. And so you start asking girls out. Okay? But an 8-year-old's relationship with a girl is very, very different to like a 28-year-old's relationship with a girl. So I would run up to a girl in the playground, all kind of giggly, and go, would you go out with me? And she'd say yes, and then I'd run away. Do you remember that? Was that anybody else's school experience? And that was what life was like, going out with a girl. So at the end of the day, you're like, how many girlfriends did you get? Say, oh, I got 6. How many did you get? Oh, I only got 3. So, but you've got this relationship with a girl of, will you go out with me? And then you run away. That's not what Cara and I relationship is like. We said, I do. And on the day we said, I do, we committed to each other to build a relationship, to build that relationship and draw closer to each other. And we hear, you know, I understand Cara more now than I did the day we got married. And we've been going out with each other on and off since we were 15. So I know Cara really well, but I know her more now than the day we got married because we've invested and we've committed to each other and we understand each other. I know now when I've done something wrong and she doesn't have to say a word, just in a look. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Shouldn't have done that. Happens more often than you'd realize. And we can hear each other's voice. Sometimes it is audibly, and we speak to each other. Sometimes it's a lavish gift. Sometimes it's just being in each other's presence. A word is not even shared, but something is communicated, and we understand each other. Church, expect God to speak. A.W. Tozer, another writer, said, a person who does not believe that God speaks will discount it when he does speak every time. There's another quote that someone said, when I pray, it's amazing how many coincidences happen. See, if we say God doesn't speak, then every time he's trying to speak to you, you will discredit it. Do you remember the story of the guy stuck on a rooftop with a flood coming up? Have you heard that story? And the boat goes past and says, would you like me to, do you want to get in the boat? And he's like, no, I've been praying that God's going to save me. It's all right, you can carry on. Thank you very much. And then a helicopter comes past. Would you like us to rescue you? No, we're fine. Thank you. You've been praying for Jesus to save me. It's fine. You fly on by. And then he gets taken over by the flood and dies and arrives in heaven and speaks to Jesus and says, well, I was praying to you. Why didn't you? This isn't theologically sound, by the way. It's a story. Speaks to Jesus and says, why didn't you save me? And he said, well, I sent you a helicopter and I sent you a boat. Yeah. See, we want God to move in a certain way. It's funny, isn't it, how we want to be like the people of the Old Testament. Because God moved. Didn't he move physically, visibly in the Old Testament? Wouldn't it be great if God did that now? You had, when you woke up in the morning, there was a little pillar of fire or a cloud of smoke. You stood in front of a decision. You say, God, I don't know which way to go. Can a dove land on my right shoulder if you want me to go that way in my life? Or on my left shoulder if you want me to go that way? That's what we want, isn't it? That'd be great if God could do stuff physically, visibly, right in front of us. It's funny, though, that the Old Testament, the people of the Old Testament wanted what we've got. They want what we've got. Because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, only rested on people for a specific season, for a specific task, to anoint them for that. But if you believe, you've got the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. Psalm 51:11 says, cast me not from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Oh, I need your Holy Spirit. Don't take it away. Please. Because they were so used to the Holy Spirit coming, you know, like Joshua, Saul, even David. The Spirit of God would land on people for a season, for a specific task. It was a sign of God's favor upon them, but then it would leave them. And so here we have the psalmist saying, please don't leave me. Holy Spirit, stay with me. I need your presence. So today, right now, do you know you have the best possible ways of hearing God's voice? We have the complete canon of Scripture. We have God's Word. Do you know what I think that is the most underrated, but the primary way that God speaks to his people is through his word? We're so often, especially as Pentecostals, we can so often be, oh, Holy Spirit, come and speak to me, come and speak to me. He's just like, just get into my word, because it's already been said in it. If you get into it, I'm speaking through it. So get into it, then you'll hear me. So church, I encourage you, get into his word. Then we have the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God that is in each one of us. If we believe, the deposit of the Holy Spirit. And I'd add a third. I'd add a third and say that we have each other. We have community. We have the church. It can drive you mad sometimes. Oh, the ones that are laughing can relate to that one. Do you know there's no such thing as a perfect church? Do you know why? Because you're part of it. And I'm part of it. But it's God's tool and it's God's mechanism and it's his bride that he's going to use and is using. And I'd encourage you, get in relationship, get in community. We believe so strongly in this as a church. So if you're visiting, you can have permission from the pastor to zone out for the next 2 minutes while I just speak to those that are away will hear the recording of this. But we are prioritizing setting aside time to be in community as a church. So we're restructuring our midweek. I'm a firm believer that as a church, at the weekend we're going to be church gathered, but during the week we're the church scattered. And so often as I was growing up, I was forced to go to meetings midweek that I really didn't want to go to. But I was made to, if I didn't go, I'd feel really bad about going. And it's like, God's judgment is upon you because you didn't come to that meeting. And you just feel naff, don't you, most of the time. So it's like, I'm just going because I feel bad. Well, I'm not sure that's the greatest way to get people to church. So what we're doing in our midweek thing is we're launching, as of the beginning of September, we're going to be launching DNA groups. For those that are part of our church, you all of that term has been battered around and we've been gossiping that term for a little while now. Discover, nurture and act groups. And they're going to be meeting midweek and we're actually going to restructure our midweek so you can not have too much piled on you of meetings that you have to come to, but actually we free people up to say, go and meet in social spaces in this town. Grab your Bibles, be with each other, study, ask questions, pray for each other, but do it in social spaces. So those that aren't part of our community here will be intrigued and be like, you can go to the coffee shops of Stratford and the baristas, is that the right phrase? I don't want to upset people that make coffee, but the baristas, because they've got an official term now. The baristas that are making coffee will see you week in, week out, and they'll be like, something different about you guys. You come here and what are you doing for, what's that all about? And you can start relating, connecting to people outside of this place and build relationship up with. Yeah, one day they may get saved and we pray that they do. But if they don't, then you've built a relationship up with somebody that you can demonstrate God's love to. So that's what we're going to do, and we're going to restructure our week so our church isn't being, you're not being forced to come into the building constantly, but as a church we're scattered and you're doing life and you're doing Jesus and you're doing it in community with each other. So that's what we're doing. But the truth is, the reality of following Jesus, and we can have the Holy Spirit and we can be in his word daily and you can be in a DNA group, but it can still go horribly wrong, can't it? Question was, last time I heard from God, it all went horribly wrong. And the risk and the fear when that happens is we put up barriers. We say, I'm not going to engage with those people because, well, they prayed that over my life and all my Bible-believing friends believed it as well. And then God never actually did it. Or it actually, the opposite thing happened and look at my life now, it's all falling apart. So I'm going to build barriers and I'm going to keep people at arm's length. Do you know there's a recent book that's about to come out where a guy interviewed 10 of the top atheists in the world. 80% of them have had a bad experience of church. Not of God, of church. And they are the top atheists in the world. Interesting comparison. Because we build up barriers and we say, no, 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 keep away because last time it hurt too much. But last week I said, and I repeat it this week, and it's so easy to say, but God is more interested in your character than your comfort. Oh, I want a comfy life. I really do. I really, really do. I'm all for pre-trib, for those that do theology, because I don't like pain. I want to be free from any kind of pain. Like, the rumor is the Chinese church are praying for persecution to come to the UK, because when persecution comes, the Christian church steps up and it starts to explode with growth. So, Chinese, please stop praying that. I don't want persecution. I want a comfy life. I want to be able to sit with my feet up watching the Olympics and know that I'm safe and sound. It can sound so easy, but God is more interested in your character than your comfort. So number one, it's a relationship, my sheep. Number two, they hear my voice, you can expect results. And number three, the reason. I know them. Do you know God knows you better than you know yourself? Do you know that? He knows the number of hairs on your head. Do you know them? Some of that's easier than others. But I don't have a clue. My dad is as old as the day he was born. He couldn't count the hairs on his head. God knows you better than you know yourself. You see, we like to think that we're in control. We like to think that, like, life is like an aeroplane, isn't it? And I'm the captain of the aeroplane, and I'm flying my plane, and I'm going to kind of take it this way. I'll consult God, but I'm going this way anyway. It's like prayer is just the thing I do because it makes me feel like I've done it. But I'm still going to go this way anyway. And we want to control the plane, but God is way up in the control tower. And he's saying, the thing is, if you do that, I know what's going to happen. And his sovereignty. So I'm not going to answer that prayer the way you want it answered, because I see the end from the beginning. So if I answered that prayer the way you're praying it right now, then you may not become everything that I believe you know you can be over here. Because I see everything because I'm sovereign. I see it all. Does it strike you that God may not answer that prayer the way you want it because he simply understands and sees more than you do? There's a great passage in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 8 to 11, it says, "For everyone who asks receives, and anyone who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" What do you mean? I can really ask and God will give it. Yeah. What you mean? I can pray and he will answer. Yeah, absolutely. But just notice in the passage, he doesn't actually say that he's giving the thing that you asked for. He doesn't give you a time frame of when that thing may be given unto you. It just says that he will give you good gifts. Good gifts. Good gifts. Now, if you read the parallel passage in Luke, we know that Luke 11:13 says, "If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You know the good gift? It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of his presence 24/7 in your life. Communicating with you, building relationship with you. There's the reminder again that you've got the Holy Spirit. Be reminded, church, God has promised to never leave or forsake you. But when you are feeling all alone, when you are feeling completely forsaken, be reminded that you're his sheep. Be reminded that he is in relationship with you and they've got a good gift, the Holy Spirit. So out of that relationship, you can expect results. You can expect to hear God's voice. But guys, get in community with each other. You know, many will have heard of, you know, the Welsh revival of 1904? Amazing story of over 100,000 people getting saved. Do you know how that revival ended? Because of people that believed they were hearing from God but wouldn't listen to their brothers and sisters who said, "You may have got that a little bit wrong." No, I've got it right because God's put me in this position to lead this thing. So what I say goes. But what happens if we go this way a little bit for a while? No, that wouldn't be God's will. We're going this way. And suddenly it all ended. God knows us better than we know ourselves. So it's out of relationship. Out of relationship, we can expect results. And the reason for those results is that God knows better than you do. And number four, I'm going to land the plane here. Response. Verse 27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me." As response, even when it makes no sense, follow him. When experiences suggest otherwise, follow him. Don't give up following him. Even when you've prayed and believe that God has spoken and everything goes the other way, follow him. Get closer to him. Get more into his word. Get more around into the community of the believers that you're a part of. Go deep into him when things don't make sense. When everything is screaming, "If God, you're real, then this, but now that." Follow him. Keep following him. Church, experiences cannot be allowed to have the final word. They can't. Jesus has the final word. And for those who feel this morning like you've been praying for something for years, and maybe you felt God speak and it went the other way, or you have been waiting for God to step in on something and it's just like a brick wall every single time, do you know what? Jesus sympathizes with you and he is right there with you. Because there was a moment in Jesus' life when he's in a garden and he wants everything to be taken away. "Oh God, if I don't have to have this cup, please take it away from me. Please take this cup from me." And he prays. But we know where it leads him. It leads him to the darkest hour, doesn't it? It leads him to that place where the worst experience that anyone can imagine, an experience that seems to declare with the loudest of shouts that, "God, you have disappeared. God, you are absent. God, how could you let this happen?" It's like we can say, "Jesus died and God seemed absent." It's like, whoa, what chances have I got? But the cross, our darkest hour, maybe just God's finest moment. Because when God seemed to be so absent, so disappeared, so like everything wasn't going as he prayed, oh, how humiliating that was when the third day he rose again. And he shows just how present he is, just how committed he is, just how much he is involved in your life. You may have believed God and prayed with all your heart. Every single one of your Bible-believing friends have even believed it with you. Keep following him. Keep following him. Keep following him, because he's got the final word, not your experiences, not your circumstances. Let our relationship with him be what consumes our life, expecting results as we draw closer to him, knowing that whatever the outcome, the reason will be because God knows best. And whatever the outcome, our response will be to follow him, will be to follow him every step of the way. "Follow me, for I am the good shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep." You know that Greek word good? Kalos. It's to be good, not just in a morally sense. It's not like, "Look at me, I do everything good." It's not about your actions. It's about in all areas of your life being good. But absolutely everything. It means to be beautiful, to be magnificent, to be winsome, to be attractive, to be lovely, to be excellent on all levels. Not just in terms of your character or your actions, but in absolutely everything. He's your good shepherd. We sang it this morning, didn't we? We sing these truths, but I don't know if we believe them. You're perfect in all of your ways. God, when before me and behind me lies an absolute mess, God, you're perfect in all of your ways. And I'm going to follow you even closer. You're perfect in all of your ways. See, Jesus is the good shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep. So guys, we're going to gather around communion this morning. And we're going to be taking this moment as just a moment as part of our church, just to build relationship. Just to say, I'm going to set some time aside right now. I don't know how often you set time aside to be in relationship with Jesus. This is an opportunity now for you. Just to say, I'm going to set this time aside. Good shepherd. Oh, how beautiful you are. You're perfect in all of your ways. My ways don't make any sense, but I know you're perfect. So maybe you held on for God to move in a certain way, and up to now he hasn't. Maybe you prayed for someone to be healed and that's not what happened. Maybe you're believing that it might just still be. Come to communion this morning. Come gather around his table and just respond. talk to him this morning. Be honest with him. I think we need more churches like there were in the Psalms. God, what? I don't understand. Stop it. I don't know many people that pray that their enemies be smashed with a jaw of an animal. I don't often pray that prayer. Maybe you need to be praying that this morning and just be totally honest with God. I think he can cope with your honesty this morning. And let his spirit just come upon you. So guys, we're going to take communion. We're going to remember his body that was broken for us. And we're going to remember his blood that was shed for us. Because he's the good shepherd and he lays his life down for the sheep. So Ian, can you come and help? Sibon, can you come and help me as well? Is that okay? If Ian, you just take the juice round, and Sibon, if you take the bread round, that'd be fantastic. Let's just build relationship this morning. Yeah.